Morning. Today's Daf and Chulim is Daf Beis. We are starting the new Masechta this morning. We have the good fortune. It's really a pleasure to start Chulim once again. The Masechta is dedicated to Shechitas Chulin, the shechting of non-carbon animals. In fact, that's the name of the Masechta. The name of the Masechta is Chulin, and it's really a contrast to the previous two Masechtas. The previous two Masechtas were Zvachim and Menachos, which have to do with Kachim. And so now we are, even though we're in Seder Kachim, that's where we are in Mishtayas, but nevertheless, we're going to take a break from the Kachim, and we're going to talk about how to shecht an animal. In the event that a person wants to eat meat, it happens to me occasionally, and by that I mean every day. So the person wants to eat meat, so there's a mitzvah in the Torah to shecht. And even though we just talked about this in the afternoon kolo, all right, in the midbar, there's a possibility, all right, so machlokas tanaim, we're going to see it later on Daf Yud Zayin here in our Masechta, but there's a possibility that you couldn't shecht outside of Kachim, outside of Karbanos, there was no heter to shecht. Again, machlokas tanaim, we're going to get to it on Daf Yud Zayin. Once we go into Eretz Yisrael, so now there's an allowance. An allowance is that you and I can eat meat and you and I can shecht an animal. And even though it's not in the context of a carbon and we're not bringing it on the Mizbeach, but still we have this ability to shecht. So that's the mitzvah of Shechita and Shechitas Chulin, and that's what our Masechta is going to be covering. First two parakim of our Masechta, which is going to take some time. It takes us all the way to Daf Mem. Is that about right? It's about right. Okay, good. A little bit past. Okay, so the first two parakim of a Masechta is going to talk about the halachas of Shechita. We're going to be talking about the procedure of Shechita, the psule Shechita, what disqualifies a Shechita. So that's all going to be covered within the next two parakim of our Masechta. After that, we talk about Treifus. Treifus is a big parak. Third parak of the Masechta of the Treifus. Got to be one of the longest parakim in Shas. I didn't crunch the numbers. So I'm just going on memory right now, but it's got to be one of the longest. And then after that, parak by parak, the Masechta covers a lot of other fun topics. So all the way to the point where at the end of the Masechta, the 12th parak, the end of the Masechta, we talk about Shiluach HaKen, the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird. Not related to Shechita at all, but that's not totally true. Actually, we'll see that later. But in other words, there's some fun topics coming up at the end of this Masechta as well. Let's begin the parak. Let's begin the Mishnah. The Mishnah's topic over here is who has the ability to shecht. There's a mitzvah to shecht. By the way, I say there's a mitzvah to shecht. Something we discussed in the afternoon kolo is shechting chulin. Is that a mitzvah or is it just simply a matir? And there's much to discuss on that topic. But anyway, you'll forgive me for now. I'll just simply say it's a mitzvah to shecht. So there's a mitzvah to shecht. Who's the mitzvah upon? Who has the obligation to shecht or who has the right to shecht? Let's say it like that. So the Mishnah starts off with a very broad topic, with a very broad comment, which is Hakol Shochtin, and that is everybody. Anybody and everybody can shecht. Now, when we say everybody, we mean Jew, not non-Jew. In fact, a non-Jew is not allowed to shecht for reasons which we will articulate later in the Masechta, why it is that a non-Jew does not have the ability to shecht, but Hakol Shochtin, everyone can shecht. And so that's an inclusive statement, that's an all-inclusive statement, and our topic for today and for tomorrow is that who is that coming to include? So stay tuned as we're going to discuss it. Interesting that you know what the Gemara does not discuss, and that is women. Can women shecht or can women not shecht? So it's not discussed in the Mishnah, not discussed in the Gemara. The first Tosos...
They're not included in the Hakol. They're not included.
So the first Tosos in the Perek, so it touches on this issue. So the first Tosos, Hakol Shochtin, Kasa B'Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. So he quotes a sefer called Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. Okay, really interesting. It's obviously a very old sefer. Tosos is quoting it. So it was authored sometime in either early Rishonim or late Gaonic period, but whatever the case is. So he quotes Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, and I can easily say that this is the most popular thing that the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael is quoted for, and that is Dinashim lo yishchetu mimnei shedaitin kalos. So he's quoted as saying that women shouldn't shecht, and has to do with their disposition and their nature, and women shouldn't shecht. Now it's interesting because our Mishnah over here clearly articulates that a woman has, our Mishnah doesn't say anything regarding woman, but our Mishnah says Hakol, which is an all-inclusive statement. And if you look, in fact, if we go on in Tosos, Ve'inira, the top Tosos, Ve'inira dafila b'mukdashin, shochtos lichatchila, kedamin b'perkol apsulim. And the... Right. I'm sorry. We may. Yeah. Good problem. But we may need to just bring in some other chairs from one of the rooms. Okay. Sorry. In Nisha doesn't call us. But in here, Tosus points out that I don't think so. Definitely, but Mekdash and Shochtos the Chachil Kedami and Perikol Apsulim. And so Tosus quotes the Gemara in Zvachim, and we did this Gemara, I'd say not so long ago, but it's been some time ago, where the Gemara over there says that when it comes to Karbanos, a woman kishecht. So kol apsulim sheshachtu diyevin lechachil lo v'reminu. V'shacham ala mishashchita kshira. U'mishani hu adin dafi lechachila. So a woman kishecht karban lechachila. And the argument over here is very straightforward. If a woman kishecht the karban lechachila, of course she could shechulin lechachila. So okay, fine. And so Tosos now deals with our Gemara. Why doesn't it mention? But anyway, Tosos is not in agreement with the Hilchos Aretz Yisrael, and Tosos says that a woman does have the ability to shecht. Okay. Anyway, let's continue. Let's go on in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah starts off Hakol shochtim shchitas and kshera. Already in the first four words of the Mishnah, what you have is tension, significant tension. Why? Because what does the words hakol shochtim mean? It means that everybody can shecht and a full approbation. No reservation whatsoever. Everybody has the ability and the right to shecht lichatchila. And then what are the next two words in the Mishnah? Shchitas and kshera. If they shecht, it's okay. Which gives you the indication that it's not an a priori, it's not lichatchila, but just simply, okay. They shouldn't have done it, but now that they did, it's okay. And you feel that tension in the first four words of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah opens up with a lechatchila, and then the Mishnah goes and slides right into a bidyevin. So what is that coming to say? What does that mean? So over the course of today and tomorrow, the Gemara is going to be spending a good amount of time trying to ascertain what exactly is the lechatchila versus the bidyevin. Continuing in the Mishnah, chutz mecher shot v'katan, with exception to a cheresh ot v'katan, who do not have the ability to shecht. Cheresh, as we know, somebody who's a deaf mute, shot, somebody who's mentally deranged, a katan, somebody who's a minor. So they all do not have the mental capacity to understand and to perform the shechita. And the Mishnah says, Shema yikalkalu. And what's going to happen is that if we give them a knife and we allow them to shecht, so what may end up happening is that they may be makalkal. They may do significant damage while doing shechita. When I say damage, what I mean by that, and it will be clear in the Gemara, is that we know that there are different things that you could do during the shechita which will pass through the shechita. One example, there are five altogether, but one example is shehiyah, where in the middle of the shechita, you take a break, you pause, so shehiyah is a poso. That will disqualify the shechita. So you have any one of these people who do not have mental competency, and you allow them to shecht, and very easily they can violate any one of the psula shechita. And so therefore, they should not shecht. Shema yikalkalu shchitasan, v'kulan. And then the Mishnah gives us one more point to consider. Now, in all these people that we just described, sheshachtu v'achem ro'onosan, where they shecht and they are supervised, people are watching over them, shchitasam ksher, then the shchita would be a kasha shchita. Now, presumably that's going on the cheroshot v'katan. The problem, as the Gemara is going to keep repeating to us again and again, is that why does the last line of the Mishnah open up with the words v'kulan and all of them? Meaning, if you're reading the Mishnah as one sentence, and then what should be the next words? V'im sheshachtu v'achem ro'onosan. Meaning just read it as a flow. What does it mean, v'kulan? What is that going back on? So stay tuned, because that's also another obstacle in the Mishnah, and that also is going to be explored and discussed over the course of the Gemara. So really what we have in the Mishnah is a general rule, which is that the allowance of shechita can be done by everybody. That's the hakol of the Mishnah. But there's a tension in the Mishnah, in that the Mishnah starts off with Hakol Shochtim, which is Lechatchila, and then with the word Shchitas and Kshera, which is Bidyevin, and how do you understand that? In fact, that's the opening question of the Gemara. Gemara starts off Hakol Shochtim, so the Bach takes out the word Lechatchila. Hakol Shochtim, Hakol Shochtim, V'Shchitas and Kshera, Diyevin. Okay, so however the Girsa works, the question is presented over here. Hakol Shochtin gives us the sense that you could do it, and you could do it even lechatchila. And then the Mishnah says shchitas and kshera, which means bidyevin. So how does that work? How do we understand the tension that exists in the Mishnah? Is it lechatchila or is it bidyevin? And it can't be both. Okay. Now what we're going to do, not just yet, but in a moment, is that we're going to answer the question with six different amoraim, given six different approaches to how to resolve this tension in the Mishnah of lechatchila versus bidyevin. And this will cover today's daf and tomorrow's daf as well. Today, we're only going to cover one of the six approaches, and we're not even going to finish the first one today. Good. But in the meantime, however, even before we get there, first the thing the Gemara wants to do is just make sure that we are comfortable with the question. The question is, HaKol Shochtin, and that means Lechatchila. And then Shechitas and Kshir, and that means B'diavid, and the two cannot coexist. So what do we do about that? So first of all, is that a legitimate question? And that's what the Gemara wants to ascertain. So Amalei Rav Acha Brei D'Rav L'Rav Ashi. So here a discussion between Amoraim. Now, you'll note over here, one of the people involved in this discussion is Rav Ashi. Hold that thought for a moment. I'm going to come back to that a little bit later on this morning in terms of why that's so important. So Amalei Rav Acha Brei D'Rav L'Rav Ashi V'chol HaKol L'chatchilahu. So you mean to tell me that anytime we find in the Mishnah the word HaKol, so that by definition means it's L'chatchila. Is that true? Elamiato HaKol Mamirin. Echad ha'anashim ve'echad ha'anashim, ha'chanami de'lechatchilahu, v'aksiv lo yachlifenu v'lo yamiroso, tov bera rabbi tov. So the Gemara asks, let me ask you a question. We're going to learn together a Mishnah in Temura. The Mishnah in Temura says, ha'kol memirin, that everyone can affect Temura. Everyone can affect Temura, both men and women. And you see the word ha'kol over there, is that lechatchila? It can't be lechatchila. Impossible. The Isser of Temura is exactly that. It's an Isser. It's a prohibition. You cannot exchange the kedusha of carbon from one animal to another. The Torah says, "Lo yimirenu." You're not allowed to do that. And it happens to be that if you do it, v'ayahus moraso yekodesh, both it, the original animal, and the new animal are going to have kedusha. We will have a mesechta dedicated to this topic. For our purposes right now, just notice that the Mishnah says the words hakol, and clearly over there, it's not lechatchila. Anything but lechatchila. It's an issur in the Torah. So the Gemara says, so what do you see over there? The word hakol, and it's not lechatchila. Hasam kediktani taima. So over there, yes, that's true. But if you read it on the Mishnah, it's self-evident in the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah actually goes on to write, lo shaha adam rashay lahamir. The Mishnah says it's not that the person has the right to affect temura. She may mirror mumar, v'sofek is arbaim. It just happens to be that it is effective. It will be effectuated if a man or a woman does temura. So over there, you're right. If I had the word hakol by itself, so that would be misleading because hakol is normally a chatchila. But over there, the Mishnah uses the word hakol, but then the Mishnah quickly follows up by explaining, oh yeah, but don't do this, right? Don't try this at home. So Ella, okay, good. So so that Mishnah in temura, so we jumped over that hurdle and we're still holding that every time we have the word hakol, it's lechatchila. Okay, let's consider another mission together. Ella, ha'kol ma'arichim v'nairachim, nojim v'nidarim. So we have another Mishnah in the Masechta of Erchin. And that is everyone can make a vow of either Erchin or that of Nidarin. Now, what are the difference between Erech and Nedra as far as a vow is concerned? So an Erech is a value and a Nedra is a value. But they're different types of values. As far as an Erech is concerned, what is the Erech value? So the Torah gives us a schedule. You open up to the end of Sefer Vayikra, and there in Parshas Bechukosai, so the Torah gives a very clear schedule of what a person's erech is going to be. Two factors go into what your erech is going to be: your gender and your age. And it starts at 30 days, and it goes up from there. And there are brackets in which a person can fit into age-wise, and then a gender, and then you just follow the schedule. So if I say I'm going to give my erech, so we look at my gender, we look at my age, and that'll determine. And right, and that'll determine what the erech is going to be. And that's true for everyone. It's an objective number. That's erech. Now, what if the person has no market value? It doesn't matter. In other words, the only two factors for erechin is just going to be gender and age. Masha Inke, when it comes to neder, as far as making a vow and a pledge to the base of Mikdash, I want to give his value. So for that, it's his market value. Whatever he goes on the open market. Now, obviously, right, we're not open to the idea of selling people on the open market, but we understand that, however, that everyone has a value in the open market. So the Mishnah tells us that hakol ma'arichim v'nerachim nojim v'nidarim. Everyone can make an erech neder, can make a value neder. Everyone could be the object of the erech neder. Everyone could be the object of the erech neder. I'm sorry, of the value neder. So hachanami delechatchila. Now again, that's the Mishnah, and the Mishnah opens up with the words hakol. And do you mean to tell me that is lechatchila? Of course it's not lechatchila. V'haksiv, v'chisek dalin dor lo yebachachay. First of all, the Torah itself says that if you stop making neders, so you're in good shape. In other words, making a neder is risky business because you make a neder and then you're not compliant. And then you violate the Torah. So if you don't make a neder, you're in good shape. In fact, furthermore, the pasuk can kohalas. Uksiv tavasher losi dor mishatidur velo tishalem. So the pasuk in Kohala says the best thing to do is not to make a neder, rather than making a neder and not paying your neder. Now, Vitanya, now on this regard, what is the best situation as it relates to a neder? So the Tanaim argue. Tov mizeh mizeh sheino no dekol leker divrei Reb Meir. According to Reb Meir, you know what the best situation is regarding a neder? Don't make it at all. Meaning, you made it, you complied with your neder, that's wonderful. Better than that, don't make the neder at all. You want to give money? So I got this great idea. Give money. Just give it. In other words, without the pledge and without the appeal, just give money. Reb Meir says that's the best thing in the world. Because the risk of making the neder and not complying with the neder is greater than making the neder and being compliant with the neder. Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda says no. Tov mizeh mizeh no demishalim. No, Rav Yehuda says no. The ultimate, the best thing to do is to make a neder and be compliant with your neder. And ve'afilu Rav Yehuda lo kamar ela ba'omer harezu. And even as Rav Yehuda says that there is a better value, an improved value of making a neder and keeping your neder, that's only if it falls under the category of nedava, where you point to an item and an object and you say, this is going to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Right? We normally talk about it in the context of karbanos, but in other words, the point is that there's no personal recourse. However, Aval Amar Hare Alai, but if instead of saying Hare Zu, you say Hare Alai, where now you're making a neder, where there is recourse, there is personal liability, so lo, So then there's a chance that you're not going to do it, and then you're going to be on the hook for the neder. Okay, good. So what we have now is a Mishnah in Erchin. The Mishnah Erchin opens up with the words Hakol. It's talking about making a neder. It's talking about making an erech, and it's not a lechatchila. It's certainly not a lechatchila, because as we just learned together, according to both Tanaim, as it relates to a neder, a person should make a neder. Okay, so already that's one example. We have the word hakol, and hakol is not coming as a lechatchila. And the Gemara continues. Ella hakol chayavim b'sukkah. Sorry, I skipped a line. V'chol hakol lav lechatchila hu. So you want to argue the other direction. You want to say that the word hakol is not lechatchila. Consider the following. Ella hakol chayavim b'sukkah, hakol chayavim b'tzitzis. So here we have Mishnah that we saw back in Menachos. The Mishnah of everyone's obligated in Sukkah. The Mishnah, well, actually that Mishnah is in Erechim, but anyway. Hakol chayavim b'tzitzis, everyone's obligated in tzitzis. So hachinami delav lechatchila. So the Gemara says, and what do you want to tell me? That's not lechatchila? Of course that's lechatchila, that's a mitzvah. Right, we should be doing our mitzvahs. And that's obviously lechatchila. So chayavim lo kamina. The Gemara says, okay, but you know what, let's take a step back. If the Mishnah says the words hakol chayavim, we have nothing to talk about. Obviously, that's a lechatchila. That should be a first position, an a priori for every one of us. Ela me'ata hakol samchem echad anashim ve'echad anashim. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'll cite you another Mishnah. We'll also go back to Menachos. The Mishnah of hakol samchem. Everyone does smicha. Smicha, one of the shayari hamitzvah, as it relates to a karban, where the owner of the karban puts his hands on the head of the karban and leans on the karban. It's a mitzvah. The Mishnah says, Hakol Samchin, Echan Anashim Ve'echan Anashim. Men and women do smicha. Over there, clearly it's a lechatchila. Clearly. Hachinami, the love of lechatchila. And what do you want to tell me? It's not lechatchila. Va'aksiv, it's Samach Yadav Nirtza. So they have a pasuk in the Torah that says it's a mitzvah. So in. So finally, the Gemara yields the floor. You're right. Ika Hakol Lechatchila, the Ika Hakol Diyavid. Okay, you know what? As we just did a quick survey of Mishnah throughout Shas, so basically, yesh v'yesh. Sometimes the word hakol is there as a lechatchila. Sometimes the word hakol is not lechatchila. Okay, I'm with you. But let's now go to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, what does it say? Ela hakol dehacha. Mimai de lechatchila hu. De tikshilach. De omad yevet hu. Velo tikshilach. So what I want to know is our Mishnah. You see, our Mishnah opened up with hakol shochtin, and you think it's lechatchila. And now you're bothered. Because the next words of the Mishnah is ushchita sam ksheira. Yeah, why don't we just simply say the Hakol Shochtin of our Mishnah is Bidyevin, and boom, no question, and we can move on. So the Gemara says, Amrle, Ana, Shchitas, and Ksheira Kashali. So he says, Ana, as far as I'm concerned, now, by the way, who's the speaker right now? So I told you a couple minutes ago, right? Make sure you remember the names, right? This was a dialogue that took place between Rav Ashi and, now I told you to remember the names, and I have to remember the names also. So Rav Acha, Bere Derava, and Rav Ashi are having a dialogue. So on the first side was Rav Acha Bar Derava, who just gave a survey of the Mishnayos that we just went through. And then Rav Ashi is saying, as far as I'm concerned, Anna. Amarle Anna Shchitas Kshera Kashali. This was difficult for me, the Shchitas and Kshera. And in just a moment, I'm going to show you why that's significant in terms of why it was important for us to remember the names. Shchitas and Kshera Kashali. Mi diktani Shchitas and Kshera Dieved Mechlal Da'akol Lechatchilahu. Di'i Dieved Tarti Dieved Lamali. Look, in our Mishnah, it's clear. Because if the Hakol Shochtin of our Mishnah was B'dieved, so let's now read our Mishnah. Hakol Shochtin B'dieved. Ushchitasan Kshera B'dieved. Okay, and that was just superfluous. And the Mishnah could have just simply said Hakol Shochtin, period. Or V'kulan Shchitasan Kshera. Something along those lines. Why does the Mishnah have to repeat the two phrases if they're both B'dieved? So basically, I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. If I understand both phrases to be b'di'eved, so then why repeat the phrase? And if I understand that one's lechatchil and the other was b'di'eved, so then which one is it? Okay, but what Rav Ashi is saying is, but I can't tolerate the idea that they're both b'di'eved, because then the Mishnah is superfluous and the Mishnah wouldn't be that. So what the Mishnah must be intimating is that there must be a scenario of lechatchila, there must be a scenario of b'di'eved, and it's just our job to figure out which one's lechatchil and which one's b'di'eved. Good. And that will be what we're going to be doing for the rest of the daf today. Really interesting tosos over here. Anash chitasun kshera kakashali. So in the Gemara that we just went through together, so Rav Ashi says, what bothered me was the fact that it says chitasun kshera. Mashma, shirav Ashi, hiksha osa kusha. Now, that means then that the first question of our Gemara, right, when our Gemara is opened up, hakol shochtin, so lechatchila v'shchitasun kshera di'eved. So who's asking that question? Meaning, when the Gemara originally presented the question, so who's asking it? Meaning, at that point, we don't know. There was no name that was given. There was no authorship. There was no dialogue that took place in the Gemara. It was just simply, stam the Gemara asking the question. Oh. So Tosa says, so now I wonder, who is stam the Gemara? Right? A really basic question that follows its way throughout all of Gemara. Like, who's the speaker in the Gemara when we don't know who the speaker is? Toso says, now we know. Mashma Sherav Ashi Hiksha Osa Kushya. V'afa Pishi Sugyas HaGemara. And even though it was the Gemara Sugya, meaning when the Gemara presented it first, it was just simply an anonymous presentation of a question in the Gemara. But now we know this is Rav Ashi. Mikan Raisha Rav Ashi Sidur HaGemara. So this is a good proof, says Toso, that Rav Ashi was the one who organized and edited the Gemara. Now we're going to see later on that Abai and Rav are also having the same dialogue. Meaning this was for the Amorayim, a generational question that was asked from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. And yes, it's true, Abai and Rav, they're in the middle of the Amoraic generations. And yes, they're having this discussion. But as far as who is presenting when the Gemara addresses a question like this, hey, I wonder, how do you understand the Mishnah? And we don't know who the author is, so the grand editor, the general editor of the Gemara, says Tosos, is Rav Ashi, and you see that encrypted in the word Ana.
Very significant.
Yeah, right. I agree.
The only place that says that Rav Ashi is the author, basically.
Yeah, I mean, right? There is another Gemara, you'll forgive me, I forgot where it is, but Ravina Rav Ashi Sof Hora'a. There is some indication that Ravina and Rav Ashi are the editors, but this Tosos over here certainly takes a very strong position. Okay, so where do we stand right now? So we have now formulated the question. So for the first half of today's daf, so we have now a question in store, and so we are locked, we are loaded, and we are ready to go. We are ready now. We are ready now to present six different approaches to how to address this issue. Our Mishnah taught us that Hakol Shochtin, that Lechatchila, a collective group of people can shout. And then Shchitas and Kshera. Not Lechatchila, not a priori. B'di'evit. Post facto, if they shachted already, that's fine. So there's obviously a built-in tension in the Mishnah. How do we resolve the tension? And every one of the answers is basically going to revolve around the following. Situational. Meaning, under certain situations, they could shech lechatchila, or not. I don't really mean situational. But in other words, groupings. one group can shecht. It's grouping situational. You'll see. It'll be a blend of the two. Under one set of circumstances, it can shecht lechatchila. Under a comparable set of circumstances, it's only b'di'evin. And that'll be the theme throughout all these answers. And let's begin with number one. Amar Rabba Bar Ula. So here we are with approach number one of the Gemara. And that's all we're going to get through today. We're just going to get through a first approach today, and we're not even going to finish the first approach for today. Hachi Ketani. So here's how you're going to understand the Mishnah. Hakol Shochtim V'afilu Tamei B'chulin. So everyone can shecht, and even as it relates to somebody who is Tamei. So let's just imagine for a moment, and let's understand. A person himself is Tamei. Now, what kind of Tumah does he have? So please stay tuned. That we're gonna open up that question tomorrow. But in other words, but the person who's shechting is Tamei. So that means to say now as follows. He touches the animal before it was shechted. Is the transmission of Tumah going to go from him to the animal? The answer, of course, is no. Right? It's a live animal. Live animal is not mekabel Tumah. Now, interesting, if you don't shecht the animal and the animal dies without the benefit of a shechita, so we all know now that the animal itself is a source of Tumah. But that's not what's going to happen over here. What's going to happen is that he's going to shecht the animal. So therefore, preventing the animal from becoming an avela, and so the animal is not going to be a source of Tumah. However, once the animal is shechted, so now it is dead, and it's ochel, meaning it's food. Now, I understand it'd be better if we cooked it, probably taste a lot better, but in other words, at this point in time, it's ochel. Now, yes, there is a consideration of, first, you need hechsher, you need hechsher l'kabel Tumah in order for it to become Tameh, and I understand that's an issue, but... Right? The blood that comes out as you shecht it might be the hechsher. Okay, very good. But in other words, but once you shecht it now it's mukhsher l'kabel. Now it's at least, we can have a discussion of a receptacle to become tameh. And so now, if you, the shochet, are tameh, and you're shechting an animal which is chulin, so chances are the tumah will transmit from you to the animal after it was shechted. Now, tomorrow we're going to open up with a discussion of what about the knife? Isn't the knife a conductor of Tumah? So stay tuned because that's where we're going to open up tomorrow. That's where we're going to start tomorrow. For our purposes right now, let's just assume the knife is not a conductor. Okay? So now you're shechting an animal. So are you going to make the animal Tameh? Probably. When I say probably, meaning you're going to have to shecht the animal by only holding the knife, not touching the animal after it was shechted. Right. Chances are you're gonna probably come into contact with the animal. Maybe you can get a couple of other people to hold the animal down, and you shecht the animal. Okay. And that, says Rabbah, is exactly the point of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says Hakol Shochtin, who we mean to include by that, right, who's on the bubble? Who's not a lock solid pick of who can do shechita? So somebody who's tummy. Because if somebody who's tummy does a shechita, he may come then in turn and be metam the animal after the animal was shechted. That's what the Mishnah means. That's the hakol of the Mishnah. Hakol shochtim v'afilu tamei b'chulin. So tamei b'chulin, my lamemra. So the Gemara says, okay, I kind of hear you, but why is he on the bubble? Meaning, it's not a chiddush. Okay, so let's even go so far to say that he comes into contact with the animal poshchita, and he's metam the animal. And so what? So now the animal is tamei. It's chulin. It's not a big deal. So the Gemara says, "B'chulin shenasu ataras hakodesh." The kasaver, "Chulin shenasu ataras hakodesh kekodesh tam." So the Gemara says, "Okay. So you know, we're not talking about just tam chulin over here. We're talking about chulin shenasu ataras hakodesh." Now, this kind of language we're going to see a bunch of times throughout our mesechta, and let's get familiar. Let's get comfortable with this language. It means that it's chulin. But what we're going to do is that we're going to treat it as if it is karban. Why? So Rashi over here writes. Very simple. Let's say that we know we're going to the Beis HaMikdash in a short time from now, and there's a lot of regulations and restrictions, a lot of Tumah regulations as it relates to Karbanos. I'm going to just simply walk into the Beis HaMikdash with no training and no preparation, and I'm going to be able to navigate through all the laws of Tumah. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to do a little spring training. Okay, a little spring training as it relates to Tumah. And Rashi doesn't say spring training, by the way. So we're gonna and if you want to see the Rashi inside, Rashi Shinasu Ataras Kodesh, the Kiba Allah Alachob B'Taras Kodesh, Sherotz Allah Hargil Atzmo B'Taras Kodeshim, Shem Yochel Shlamim Otodi a Baki Bishmi Rasan. So we know that we're gonna need to handle Karbana soon enough. Let's get a mindset and a state of preparation where we know what we're doing. So all of our animals on our farm that we're going to be shechting, we're going to treat as if it's Kodesh. Now, I guess you may be able to call this some form of a neder or some form of Kabbalah. Anyway, our Gemara describes it as Chul Shenasa Altaris Kodesh. Now, Chul Shenasa Altaris Kodesh, so what status does it have halachically? We are going to say that it's Kodesh Dami, that it's basically on par with Kodesh. So, under those circumstances, so now I don't want to be matam of the animal. Because even though the animal is chulin, but it's chulin shenasa altaris kodesh. And so therefore I don't want to be matame. Much like, of course, I wouldn't want to be matame a carbon. So what we're going to do is we're going to take out a long knife and we're going to shecht it. So to the point where we know for sure that the shochet's not going to come into contact with this animal. And that's what the Mishnah says when the Mishnah means when it says, hakol shochtin, that you can do this even on a lechitchila basis. Now we move to the contrast, the next phrase of the Mishnah. Uvim mukdashim lo yishchot, but if it's an actual carbon, so then no. Lichaschil, you should not do that. Shemiga babasar, because he may come into contact with the animal. Now you see, it's the same concern, but in the first case of the Mishnah, it's only chulun shenasa taras kodesh. It's spring training. So even though status-wise, we're going to treat it like a carbon, but when all is said and done, it's just chulun. As opposed to in the second case of the Mishnah, the B'dievid case, there it's actual carbon. So let's not play with fire. Let's not have a tama person shechted. He's got a very long knife. He's not going to touch the animal. All true, but still, lechatchila, let's not do that. We're playing with fire. V'im shachava. Let me just finish and then I'll pause. V'im shachava omer barli shelo negati shechita sukshera. Now, how do you understand the Mishnah? The Mishnah now B'dievid. So let's say, if he were to ask the question, can I shech the carbon?
No.
And he's tummy, we'd say no. But he did it anyway. Now what? Now, if post-shechita, he comes over and he says, barili, I know for sure that I did not touch the animal, so then we believe him. He has ne'emanus. Chutz mecher shot v'katan, da'afila b'chul, and greedy, the evan amilo. Shema yishu, shema yidrusu, v'shema yachalidu. Then the Mishnah says, but you know what? When it comes to cher shot v'katan, because of their lack of mental competency, so therefore, they cannot shecht under any circumstance. Well, I'll take that back in just a moment, but right now I'll say it. They can't shecht under any circumstance because what may end up happening is they may violate any one of the psula shechita. The Mishnah over here gives three examples of psula shechita. Let's just quickly identify and define the three that are mentioned in the Gemara. One shehiya we already described earlier is that while you shecht, you pause in the middle of the shechita before you finish the shechita. So that is one of the five psulei shechita. Hadrasa. Now the shechita requirement is to take a knife and to go back and forth, slide it back and forth against the neck of the animal. If, let's say, instead of going in a back and forth moment, back and forth motion, you just apply direct frontal pressure. That is what's called hadrasa. That's also one of the psulei shechita. And shema yachalidu. Or you may do what's called chalada. Chalada literally is hiding the knife. And that means is that what you do is instead of going from the front of the neck and shechting towards the vertebrae, what you do is you insert the knife into the neck, you cut the simonim, the esophagus and the trachea, and you do so going from the direction of the vertebrae to the front of the neck. So that at one point in time, the knife was hidden in the neck itself. So that's what's called chalada. That's another one of the psulei shechita. And consider, by the way, that regarding many of these psulei shechita, so even there's no forensic evidence that one can walk away with saying, oh, shehiya was done or shehiya was not done. Meaning, if you weren't there at the time of the shechita, can you know forensically whether or not shehiya happened? Of course not. Meaning, the shochet paused with the knife. There's no way we're going to be able to ascertain afterwards that shehiya was done or not done. So good. So in other words, so if I have any one of these people, the cheresh ha'tevekatim doing the shechita, so I simply don't know whether or not any one of the psulim occurred, so therefore we can't rely on the shechita. And now let's finish up the Mishnah. V'kulun sheshachtu ahaya. Now there's one more phrase of the Mishnah that requires an explanation. And that's the last line of the Mishnah talking about if there was somebody overseeing the act of shechita. The problem is that it opens up with the words v'kulun and all of them. Who is that making reference to? Well, that's confusing. Ilei macher shot v'katan alakai v'im shachtu mibayilei. This is a question, a refrain that we're going to keep hearing again and again. If the last line of the Mishnah V'kulan, was just going on Chereshot V'Katan, so then the language of the Mishnah should have been better written with the words V'im Shachtu, because it just simply flows from Chereshot V'Katan, V'im Shachtu, and if they shechted, and yet people overseeing them. But that's not what the Mishnah does. The Mishnah says V'Kulan, as if to include other people in the Mishnah. Well, who are the other people in the Mishnah? So according to Rabbah, there's only one other person in the Mishnah, the Tamei. So Ela Tamei B'Chulin. So if we're talking about a tamei regarding chulin, even if it's chulin shenas al taras hakodesh, so that we could do lechatchila. I don't need somebody to oversee the shechita. So ve'ela atamei b'mukdashin. So the Gemara says it must be talking about the tamei person by a karban. Tamei person by a karban. Remember what we learned just a little bit earlier? Bebar elisagi. So the Gemara says if he shechted b'di'evit, all we need is a declaration from him. Hey, I did the shechita, and no, I didn't touch the animal, so that would be sufficient. So then why do I need someone to oversee? So the Gemara says, Alesa Kaman, Dineshailei. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why, because he's not here. In other words, so, we have somebody who was tummy, we know he was tummy, he shechted the karban. Now, with a little bit of an inquiry afterwards, you shouldn't have shechted, you know that? Yeah. Okay, fine. Did you touch the animal? And he says, no, that would be enough. But what the Mishnah now is saying, v'chulan, is that if the person, let's say, was a tamei and shechted a karban, and he's not around for further questioning, so then if somebody was there to oversee it, so then the shechita b'di'evit would be fine. Oh, I'm sorry, Danny.
In the first case, he didn't designate this animal as kadosh, right? In other words, we assume the animal could be kodesh.
No, what?
It's on its way to becoming
Kaddish. Well, the Lechatchila or the
B'di'evit? I think the
B'di'evit. The Lechatchila case is Chulin Shenas al Taras HaKodesh. Again, this is all according to the first approach. This is all according to Rabbah Bar Ula. The first case of the Mishnah is Chulin Shenas al Taras HaKodesh. That's the Lechatchila. The second case is actual Karbanos. Okay.
You know, since most people hold an animal with the Shechita, there has to be a Chazaka that if you don't know, the chazaka has to be that the guy was holding it. So why do you have to have a witness? Why don't you use the chazaka?
Well, I'm unclear. What?
The majority of people, when they lose shechita, mm-hmm. are holding the animal, they're touching the animal.
Okay, well, okay, first
so
of all...
That has to be a chazaka, so in case where yeah, we don't
but,
know
but,
the guy
but,
did
or not... In all fairness, you say that.
Right.
People meaning... I'm saying when the Gemara will explore ideas of certain ropes, certain assumptions that we are allowed to make in terms of whether the person is or isn't touching the animal. I'm with you. In other words, I would also say that chances are he touched the animal. But right, either A, he said he didn't, or somebody was there to see that he didn't. The Gemara. All I'm simply saying is that the Gemara.
In case where we don't know and he's not there to tell you, then. Where does the chazaka come in?
Okay, I'm with you, but in other words, but the Gemara itself does not establish this as a chazaka nor as a rov. It's just simply a possibility. Okay, let's just leave it at that. Okay, where do we stand right now in the Gemara? So, what we have is attention in the first Mishnah. The Mishnah says hakol shochtin, and then the Mishnah says shchitas and kshera. So one's the chatchila, the other's b'di'evin. And so now we have presented our first approach of the daf of the Gemara. And that is that the first case is talking about chulin. Now, it's not stam regular chulin because that's not ichidish at all. A tummy person who is allowed to shecht chulin, fine, because what's the worst case scenario? The meat of the animal is going to become tummy, and for you and me, okay, so we're going to eat tummy food. We can eat tummy food. The first case of the Mishnah is chulin shenas al taras hakodesh. The status of that is that we treat it like it's kodesh. And again, the purpose of doing so is because basically it's training. We want to get familiar and used to the idea of how we should engage karbanos. So we're going to treat all of our chulin as if it's kodesh. And so therefore, if a tamei person were to shech that animal, so obviously if he touches the animal would in fact become tamei, and we don't want it to become tamei because we're treating it like kodesh. But if the person is holding a knife and he shechs it, so lichatchila he's allowed to shech because we're going to basically say to ourselves he's not going to touch the animal. Masha enkein. The second case of the Mishnah, or the second phrase of the Mishnah, where shchitas and kshera b'di'evad, that's talking about the actual carbon itself. For that, we don't want the person touching it at all. I mean, we don't want him touching it in the first case as well. But over here, we're talking about a real carbon, an actual carbon. So for there, lechatchila shen shech b'di'evad, As long as after he shecht, we ask him, did you touch the animal? He says, no, that's fine. Even if he's not there for questioning, but somebody oversaw the shechita and saw that he didn't touch the animal, that too would be fine as well. Atkan. That takes us now to the first approach of the Gemara. All this is a wonderful approach with one problem. Actually, there's more than one problem. But for today, we're going to finish off with one problem. And that is, everything we just learned now, we learned back in Zvachim. And the Gemara is bothered by that. Hai tamei b'mkdash me'acha nafka me'asam nafka. So you're telling me that a tamei person shouldn't be shechting a carbon. Great. That's great. That is all that we got out of our Mishnah. We knew that already from the Mishnah in Zvachim. So the Mishnah here, the Gemara here quotes the Mishnah in Zvachim. Kol apsulim sheshachtu shechitas n'ksherim. Sheshchita ksharim bizarim. Benashim uva'avadim uva'tmeim. So the anyone who is pasul who shechts the shechita b'dieva would be kosher. The shechita would be kosher by a non-kohen, by a woman, by an eved, by somebody who's tamei. Ve'afilu b'kachi kadashin. And even if we're talking about not just the lower level karbanos, but we're talking about chatas, asham, ola, so you can have these people shechting. Uva'avashelo yitmeim no gimba basar. The Mishnah says with one obvious proviso. Don't have the tummy person touching the meat after the shechita. Good. So what we have over here is a Mishnah Zvachim. What we have over here is a Mishnah Zvachim, and you're now teasing out the same halacha from our Mishnah over here in Chulin. Why are you teasing out a halacha from Chulin when we know it already from the Mishnah Zvachim? It's a good question. Gemara answers. So the Gemara gives one of two possibilities, which is, you're right. You're right, but in other words, there's an ikar and there's a tafel, meaning that there's a primary location where this halacha is being taught and a secondary location. And it's interesting because now what the Gemara is going to do is it's going to vacillate, which is the primary location, which is the secondary location. So first the Gemara suggests that our mission over here is the primary location because this is where we're talking about shechita and shechita's chulin. Over there, agav, because the Mishnah over there wanted to teach us the halacha of the other people who shechita, who shechting a carbon b'di'evet, so it included tummy as well, but our Mishnah is serving as the prime location. Or no, maybe what you can argue is that the Mishnah Zvachim, that's the prime location. And hachi, I did the tani tame b'chulin tani nami tame b'mukdashin. And over here, since we're talking about a tame as it relates to chulin, we're also talking about tame b'mukdashin as well. And this would be the secondary location. So let's quickly recap for today, and that is the following. Our Mishnah tells us that hakol shochtim shechitas and kshera. We have a lechatchila phrase, followed then by a b'di'evet phrase. The first thing the Gemara wants to make sure is that our Mishnah, in fact, the first two words of our Mishnah is lechatchila, and the Gemara just sharpens the question, just to make sure that the question is, in fact, a valid question. After establishing the validity of the question, then the Gemara launches into a number of different approaches. So far this morning, we only saw one approach. Our Mishnah of lechatchila, who can shecht the animal lechatchila for the purposes of achilas basar? So the answer is, according to Rabba Bar Ula, is that it's talking about somebody who's tamei. Somebody who's tamei who shechts an animal. Likelihood is he's going to touch the animal. If, however, it is chulin shenaso al taras hakodesh, which we don't want to become tamei, so he could shecht lechatchila, even though it's spring training, and even though we don't want him touching the animal, and if he touches, the animal is going to become tamei, and we don't want it to be, but still lechatchila can shecht because he'll just simply make sure that he doesn't touch the animal. Masha Einkein, the second phrase of the Mishnah, when it comes to karbanos, so for that, he should not shecht lechatchila, because it's a carbon, and we don't want him touching the animal, poshchita. If, however, the next phrase of the Mishnah, if, however, we go over to him when we ask him, so did you do the shechita? And he said, yes, and I didn't touch the animal. So he's a mamon, we believe him. And then the Mishnah excludes chereshot v'kata because they may be makalko. And the last line of the Mishnah, v'kulan, and all of them, where if there's somebody who was overseeing, then the shechita would be good. So who is that going on? So if it were just going on chereshot v'kata, so the transition of the Mishnah should be v'im. Why does the Mishnah say the word v'chulan? So that, explained the Gemara, has to do with the fact that it's going back on the Tameh, and if he's not around for further questioning. But somebody oversaw the Shechita, so then that would be good as well. Okay. Another interesting, well, just one more interesting point I'll make for today, and then we'll pause. Chereshot v'kata shouldn't shecht. That part's clear from the Mishnah. If somebody oversaw it, so the shechita would be good. Can we do this lechatchila? Can we have a chereshot of a katan? Let's talk about a katan. That's the easiest way to describe it. Can we have a katan do the shechita? Obviously, by himself, we can't. The Mishnah says we can't because too many stumbling blocks in which he may stumble over. But can we have him do the shechita? We have a 12-year-old young man on the farm, right? See shechita done every day, wants to crack at it. And lechatchila, can we give him the knife and have him shech lechatchila? So Tosus discusses that. I mean, there's a lot which I didn't say out. But Tosus discusses that on the second Tosus on the Amud, a discussion in Tosus whether or not that would be okay from a lechatchila standpoint. See the second Tosus for that discussion. Yes, Danny?
The knife